All right, let's open up with the Lord's Prayer, okay? All together, out loud, okay? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. All right, what's everyone's favorite part of Christmas? Presents. Mrs. Brooke. Porter, favorite part of Christmas? You agree with Jackson. Presents, okay? What pirates? Parties. Oh, Christmas parties? Very cool. Favorite part of Christmas?
Breakfast.
Christmas breakfast. All right. What's everyone's favorite food at Christmas time? Like, I want specifics. Deviled eggs. All right. Yeah, I'm a fan. Do you like spicy deviled eggs? Or do you just like filled stuffed eggs? Because technically, a deviled egg has to have sprinkled cayenne pepper on it. That's what makes it deviled, or it's just a stuffed egg. Did you know that? Yeah. All right. Favorite food at Christmas time? Porter. Mom wants to know. Mashed potatoes. Christmas mashed potatoes. Favorite food, Reggie, at Christmas time? Soup. All right. It's soup season coming up. Yeah, Mr. Ryan. Green bean casserole. It's got bacon in it. Yeah. All those French onions things on top. Yep. Ever do a turducken? A turducken? Have you ever done a turducken? And a chicken. Duck inside the chicken, inside the turkey. Elaine's like, we just have pork. Yeah. Porter. What's that? You're taking it back. Clear soup. All right. So what does Porter mean when he says clear soup? Oh, yeah, your starter? Yeah, that's really good. I tried to make that once. Complete disaster. Okay, all right, ladies, favorite food at Christmas time? Ham, all right. Cinnamon rolls, all right. Ham, okay. Favorite Christmas movie? Elf. Okay, yeah. Favorite Christmas movie? National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It's pretty classic. Ryan's trying to think of his favorite Hallmark one, I'm sure. The Grinch. Which one now? Because there's like so many. The old one? The original? Yeah, that's classic. It's classic. Porter. Christmas Chronicles. Oh, is that the one, Kurt Russell, Santa? Yeah, those were good. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, the first one and the second one. A lot of fun there. Favorite Christmas movie? Bob McGee. Home Alone. Which one? One, two, or three, or four? All of them. New York City, that's your favorite one? Okay. No, these are not. Yeah. White Christmas. Christmas Carol. No. What's everyone's favorite Christmas decoration? Your favorite Christmas decoration that you're like, oh, I can't wait to see this come out of storage or see this set up, Mr. Ward.
At home, we go to storage and buy ornaments for ourselves.
So do each year do you get a new ornament?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's awesome. That's a lot of fun. Porter, favorite Christmas decoration? The tree. The tree in total. The whole thing. Yep. Varsity? You're the favorite Christmas decoration? There you go. Yeah, there's a lot to decorate there if you're going to cover that house. Yeah. Yeah. Reg, favorite Christmas decoration? That you make? Huh? Is it like Fontanini's?
No, it's the little
Hallmark, the little Hallmark houses? Yeah. They all kind of plug in. Yeah. That's neat. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep, yep. Mine's the crash. I love setting the crash up. The crash? The nativity set?
Oh, goodness.
I did. Yep, yep. That's always my favorite part. That's always my favorite part. Okay, so today we're going to continue learning about Jesus, our Lord, specifically what Scripture teaches us about His birth, okay, and why that matters. So find in your book where the Apostles' Creed is. We're going to read through it together. It's the beginning part of that section on the truth. So find that tablet, that tab. And the reason we have you reading it is so you start to get a flow for those words. The beginning tab of the truth of Jesus, the very first page should have the Apostles' Creed on it, big gray box. Everyone find it? Reg, we find it. Haley, we got it. We good? Porter, good? Okay, let's read together. Okay. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He descended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So as you're looking at that, you should see three main articles. Okay, one for each person of the Godhead. I believe in God the Father. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. We've talked about what it means to say that I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does it mean to say that I believe in God the Father Almighty? What's it mean to say that I believe in God the Father Almighty? Tell me something about God the Father Almighty. What's that? Yeah, he did. Go ahead, Jackson. Yeah, I was created for a relationship with God, and he's what? My, yeah, protector and provider. Yeah. All right, review from last week. Okay. Why is Jesus called the Father's only Son? She's like the living Bible. Like, let me give you the broad strokes. Everyone turn to your page. Let's make sure we get this. Everyone turn to your page. This is question number 9. Why is Jesus called the Father's only Son? Okay, got the page? Jesus alone is the perfect image of the Father, right? The one who makes the Father known. The perfect image, okay? That's why Jesus is able to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay? Prove it, Jackson.
Right now.
Yep. John 1, 14. Good. The Word became flesh. The Word, the Son of God. I believe in God the Father. I believe in the Son. Became flesh. So now that which was invisible is now visible. Okay? Visible. I can see. I can see the love of God incarnate. Okay? The glory as of the only Son from the Father. From the Father. The radiance of. Full of grace. Full of truth. Okay, turn the page. Number 10. What do you mean when you call Jesus Lord? Let's read the answer together. Ready? I acknowledge Jesus' divine authority. I surrender entire life to seek to a way that pleases him. Now, we haven't talked about that. That's what we're going to talk about in the next module when we talk about the Ten Commandments. Jesus says, I am the truth, I'm the life, I'm the way. There's a way that you're to be living. And so if you're going to call Jesus Lord, you need to know what that means. Okay? The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. What does it mean to say he's at the right hand? Why does that matter? Reggie, right hand. Why? What's wrong with the left hand? Why does that be the right hand? Okay? Thoughts? Guesses? The right hand is normally the administrator of, the carrying out, the one who's empowered, the executive, the right hand of authority. That's the place normally where the king to be is, the prince to be, the one who's, carrying out. Yeah, good stuff. All right, ready to do this? Ready to keep going? Okay, I believe in God the Father Almighty and in Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Okay, so we're going to talk about today. Conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. All right, you already know probably some of the aspects of Jesus' birth. Some of you have been going to church for a while, some of you have been to church not so long, but you can still probably guess at some parts of the Christmas story. Give me a biblical fact about Jesus' birth. Okay, Porter. So people gathered there? Okay, good, good. Can anyone help Porter drill that down a little bit more specifically? What two types of people gathered at Jesus' birth? Jackson, give me one of them. Shepherds, good, awesome. Who else showed up a couple years later bearing gifts? Yeah, kings. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we traverse so far. You guys know that one? Star of wonder, star of wonder. No, that's not one of your top ones, huh? No? Yeah, I mean that's pretty legit. Everyone loves that part. Dashing through the snow on one horse open sleigh. Lance got that one down. Okay. Come on, give me another biblical fact. Layla, give me a biblical fact of the Christmas story. I'll give you an example. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Can you give me another fact about the Christmas story? Hold on to him. I'm going to come back to you. Lance says he's got one. Go ahead. He rode on a donkey?
No, Mary had ridden on a donkey to get there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a long trip. Do you remember where they came from? Okay. Anyone remember where they came from? Yeah, good. Layla, did you get your fact yet? Think of the Christmas story. Haley, you're going to have to do one. Carmen, you're going to have to do one. Fact of the Christmas story? Some aspect? Carmen, you got one? Mary was his mom. Biblical fact. Biblical fact. 100% counts. 100%. Perfect. Yep. Okay. Born in a manger, right? A manger. So what is a manger? Barn, right? No, but anyone know what a manger is? Yeah, technically. That's very good, Haley. Yeah. Jackson?
Is that where all the animals are staying?
It's a food trough. It's a food trough. Yeah, it's a food trough. Yeah. So she said that Mary was Jesus' mom. Can you think of somebody else important that might have been there? Holy Spirit. If the mom was there, the dad's name, can you think of? Thank you, Porter. Yep. Anyone else think of any other facts? Who was the king at the time? Herod. Yeah, Saul. He was a king. That's good. This, you're completely wrong. But he was a biblical. He was a biblical king. Yeah. 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 Porter, do you have another fact? Yes. That's true. They couldn't stay at a hospital. There was no room in the inn. Why was there no room in the inn? Yes. So the census. There's a census, which means everyone had to report back to their hometown. So lots of people are coming back to Bethlehem. Hold on, to be counted, to be registered with the Roman Empire. You got another fact? You did. I think you've watched the Nativity movie a few times. I think so too. That's okay. That's good. But yeah, that's right. Herod sensing, and when the wise men showed up, the magi, the astrologers, say, hey, where's the one who's born king of the Jews? And Herod's like, dude, there's someone who's trying to thwart my authority. So he sends to have all the infants killed 2 years and under in Bethlehem. Yeah, yeah. Let me read to you the story. This is Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38, okay? Because we're going to talk about conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, okay? And then we'll get to your actual question and your answer. Luke 1, ready? Listen to the story. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Good. He came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. Just making sure we're all paying attention there. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Mary said, behold, I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. All right, let's ask ourselves some questions, okay? What does it mean that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit? Okay, don't cover up your answers. Let's just talk about it. I want to see what your thoughts are, okay? What does it mean? What do you think it means? The Bible said that conceived by the Holy Spirit. What do you think that means? Mr. Ward. Dude, you're spot on, man. That's exactly what it means. Yeah, this is exactly what it means, okay? Okay, read this with me. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit coming upon the Virgin Mary, not by a human father, okay? Let's write that down. Let's write that down in that box. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit coming upon the Virgin Mary, not by a human father. You need a pen? You need a pen? Porter, you writing it down? Good job, buddy. Miss Layla? Red, you getting it? Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, coming upon the Virgin Mary, not by a human father. So even if you're thinking about memorizing, break it down into chunks. Break it down into phrases. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, coming upon the Virgin Mary, not by a human father. Okay? How do we know that? Well, this is what it says in Scripture. I read it to you. Read it with me. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Let's read it again, okay? I want to make sure I can hear you, okay? Say it out loud. The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Luke 1:35. All right, so let's talk about this. Two important parts, okay? Conceived by the Holy Spirit, okay? Not by a human father, okay? So, overshadow. What do you think it means to overshadow? Porter. What's that? Are you thinking of maybe oversee? Okay, overshadow. What might that even connect back to in the Bible story? It's a really important image that comes along with when the Holy Spirit overshadows.
A cloud,
okay? Okay. The Holy Spirit overshadows. Thoughts, guesses. It connects us hovering. The Holy Spirit is hovering over something, overshadowing over something. Guesses what this might be alluding to. Carmen. Varsity says no. Tiffany, any guesses? Water, good. When was the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters? Creation. It's the creation story. It's the same image in the same language. Okay? So this is Genesis 1:1-2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Okay? So it's a picture of, we see here in this that Jesus' birth is described in the same way that the creation story is described. All right, so what does that mean about the one who's to come? If I'm supposed to have the creation story in the back of my mind, okay, what might this tell me about this one who's to be born? Any guesses? What did the Holy Spirit do? Holy Spirit breathed forth creation, life, right? Yeah. And what was the pinnacle of that creation in Genesis? Yeah. Adam, right? Adam, to oversee and be the agent of creation and life. But what does Adam do? Yeah, what do we all do? Through self-centered what? Treason and corruption. That's what we do. And so what do we need? We need a new Adam. I mean, a new Adam. And so a Holy Spirit hovering and a new person being born. This is a recreation. This is a new Adam. What was the old Adam supposed to do? What was his job? Be a good person? Okay, a little bit more than that. Haley, what was Adam's job? Remember in the garden, what was his job? No, remember? Bob McGee? He's a gardener. Yeah. Oversee everything. Take care of it. Help it thrive. Where there's chaos and darkness, push back the chaos and the darkness. Make sure that everything is working the way it's supposed to be working. Okay? So there's something about this one who's to come. For I believe in Jesus Christ our Lord, conceived by the Holy Spirit, that what's he going to do? That life is going to flow through him. He's going to be the center of a new creation. A new creation. Okay, let me give you a couple of examples. Okay, listen. Okay, here's one from Luke 1:41. Okay, just listen. This is right from the Christmas story. Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. The baby leaped in her womb. Okay, Elizabeth, she's pregnant too, 6 months, John the Baptist. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." All right, so imagine if you will, okay? All right, so how old are you? Yeah, you're about Mary's age, okay? Mary's age. Holy Spirit's just come, told you you're going to have yourself a baby. You're pregnant, okay? You go visit a relative. You found out that you don't give me that look. Dude, it's a fact. You're Mary's age. I mean, think about it. You're Mary's age, yeah. You go visit an older relative because it says Elizabeth, she was barren. She couldn't have kids. All of a sudden, in a miraculous working of God, she becomes pregnant. So Mary comes, visits Elizabeth, 6 months, like old, grandma age. She's pregnant, 6 months along, shows up. Mary gets close, and the baby in Elizabeth's womb kicks, sensing the presence of the Creator. The grandma, Elizabeth, overwhelms, wow, you are the blessed one. The one that you are carrying, that's life. That's the giver of life. That's the kind of person that Jesus is going to be, a recreation, a recreator, okay? Conceived by the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit do? It breathes life into things. Now, let me give you another example. Haley is now permanently scarred. Matthew 9:20-21. Behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. Remember how the story, what happens in the story? What happens, Bob McGee?
Jesus turns around and asks, who touched
him? Yeah, how did he know that someone touched him? Because the guy's like, dude, everyone's touching you. Everyone's... The life-giving force flowing out of Jesus, encountering this woman, reaching out in faith, healed and restored her. Healed and restored her. Why? Because Jesus gives life. Jesus gives life. He's the new Adam, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. Can you guys think of any other examples of how Jesus was the new creation? He did new creating things. Porter. He is built different. But can you think of actual stories from the Gospels where Jesus did something that gave life or recreated? Yeah, Porter.
When he was over and he was healing all that, I forget which story it was, but it was I don't know.
That's all right. Jackson. Lazarus, there's a great example, yeah. Recreation, life, good. Lance, did you have one? Oh, you got that one? All right, Bob.
Where he turned water into wine.
Yeah, that's recreating. That's definitely recreation. Jack.
Where the little girl dies.
Brought her back to life? Yeah, she's just sleeping. She's just sleeping. Everyone's like, oh, just sleeping. Oh, just sleeping. She just walks in, yeah. Tells her, get up. Did it a few times to some other people too. Yeah. It says, one of the things that we should have in our mind to say that conceived by the Holy Spirit, okay, he's going to be a recreation. Okay, so not just conceived by the Holy Spirit, but not of a human father, okay? Not born, naked baby, walking by, okay? Not born of a human father. It says this in the scripture. Therefore, the child born will be called holy, the Son of God. Okay, so maybe you can notice something. The angel answered, holy Spirit, the Most High, referring to God the Father Almighty. He will be called Holy, the Son of God. Okay. No human father. No human father. Jesus, two qualities. A child born. He was born. and he was the Son of God. Fully God and fully human. Fully God and fully human. Can you think of any examples in the story where Jesus showed that he was fully God in a situation? How he interacted with people, things that demonstrated he was not just a man, but he was fully God. Yeah, Bob.
When you walked on the water.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of just, yeah, I tried it. Tried, didn't, yeah. So, yeah, exercising his authority over the waters, definitely a God move. Yeah, Lance. Oh, yeah, how he entered into the story of the cross. Yeah, yeah, kind of more than man, built different. Right, Porter? Built different. Think of some other examples. Can you think of other examples? I mean, that's kind of a God move, right? That's, I mean, do you know anybody else who's pulled that off? No. Here, here's an example. This is from Mark chapter 2, okay? Mark chapter 2. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them, and they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. When they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above. When they made an opening, they let him down on a bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Porter, hand down. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and walk. Go home." And he arose immediately, picked up his bed, and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorifying God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Only God can forgive sin. But more so, did you see in that part where Jesus could see into their hearts? He knew what they were thinking. That's a God move. He said to the paralyzed man, "Get up and walk." That's a God move. The proclamation of the forgiveness of sins, that only happens at the temple. That only happens through God's system. That only happens God's way. That's why the Pharisees are like, "Dude, only God can forgive sins." Jesus is like, "Yep, built different. I'm the man. That you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Yeah. All right, so but let's flip it, because he's not just fully God, he's also fully man. Remember, born. Son of God, born. Born of the Virgin Mary. Can you think of any examples that showed that Jesus was fully man, too? Jackson. Yeah. And not just bleeding, but died. That's a man. What else? Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of humanity there. "I don't want to do this. This is going to hurt. This is going to be agony. This is going to be torture. Like, none on earth for 6 hours. Yeah. Reggie, you got one. Yeah. In fact, that's one of the reasons he showed the disciples that he was him. He kind of walks through the room at the after his resurrection, and everyone's like, "Oh my goodness, who is this? What is this?" And then he's like, "Hey, anyone have any food?" Apparently, resurrection makes you hungry. Apparently. Yeah, he did that a few times. He made breakfast for him. Yeah. Carmen. Jesus, fully man. Can you think of an example of him being fully man? Yeah, that's still a pretty good one, right? Here, let me read some to you. This is Mark 15. Pilate again said to them, Then what shall I do with the man that you call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? And they shouted all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Yeah. Fully man. Fully man. Here's another one from his youth. Luke chapter 2, 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. Now, this is talking to me about Lance's age, about Reggie's age. He says, hey, he was growing. He grew. His body grew. Baby grew to a toddler, grew to a child, grew to a teenager. But not just his body growing, it's also wisdom, his thinking growing. Fully man. Fully man. Yeah. Go ahead.
But Jesus is the Son in human form, and the Son is part of the three in one, and isn't that all knowing?
Uh-huh.
Doesn't he know everything?
Yeah. I know. I know, right? There, as we reflect and we think about this more, okay, because he was fully man and fully God, there had to have been some point, Jackson specifically, nice shading on your Trinity knot, that looks good. There had to have been some point, maybe in his younger years, and we see this a little bit when he's at the temple, where he has been able to look at the passages, the prophecies, the guidance, the instruction of his mom, the instruction of his father, where he went from just thinking to realizing and understanding and embracing, oh, yes, I am God. Okay, there was probably a cognitive step that he took. Okay, does that make sense? One of the reasons Mary was instructed, hey, this is who this is. So that when he goes to the temple and he's teaching them all, he's like, hey, I'm about my father's business. I'm doing what I was sent to do. You know, yeah. No, great question, though. But that's part of the tension. It's part of the tension. And it seems to be something that he doesn't always exercise, because the moment the Baba mentioned, like, hey, this woman reaches up and touches, and he says, hey, who touched me? Who touched me? Yeah. But he's able to see people's hearts. Oh, there's mystery. There's mystery. Yeah. Lance, can you go to the bathroom? I don't know. Can you? Would you like to go? You may go. Porter, do you need to go? All right. Here, helpful images. Listen to this. You think about these two things coming together. Okay, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Fully God, fully man. Okay? Fully God, fully man. A man named Origen of Alexandria described it this way. He saw a piece of iron placed in a hot fire. This is what he wrote. In the iron, he says, has become holy fire, since nothing else is discerned in it except fire. And if anyone were to attempt to touch the handle, he would feel the power, not of the iron, but of the fire. In this way, then, the soul, that is Jesus' human soul, which, like iron in the fire, was placed in the Word forever, in wisdom forever, in God forever, is God in all that he does, feels, and understands. So maybe in your imagination, think of a blacksmith, think of a piece of iron being thrust there into the forge, and it being heated up and heated up and heated up, and you take it out, and it is glowing like fire. If you touch it, what are you going to feel? You're going to feel the iron? What are you gonna feel? You're gonna feel the fire, right? Such is Jesus's two together. Fully God, fully man. Fully God, fully man. So much so that you reach out and you touch Jesus, and you are touching the power and the radiance and the glory and the life that is God. Yeah.
If Jesus said he felt the power go out of him, is there like a limit then?
Oh, did he have to recharge his battery that night? Yeah. Plug back in again? Imagine, okay, so humanity was designed to be this conduit of heaven to earth, a pass-through, okay? And Jesus becomes the perfect expression of that. Imagine, if you will, the life-giving power of God flowing through, the Spirit flowing through him, okay? So it's not like it's self-containing. He's in perfect communion with the Father. He's in perfect communion with the Holy Spirit that is all things in all places, right? And so it flows through him. He's not drained. This is one of the reasons that it was so important to him that he communed with the Father and he spent time walking in the Spirit. Yeah. That's a great question, Jack. Okay, let's keep going. Okay, let's review. What does it mean that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit? Read your answer. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit coming upon the Virgin Mary, not by a human father. Okay, prove it. Key verse. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Luke 1:35. Okay, let's keep going. Okay. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Mary asks a huge question. Okay, remember, the angel shows up. You're going to have a baby. She asks a question. Yeah, like, I've been with a guy. I'm promised. I'm betrothed. But that hasn't happened yet. How will this be? That's a great question. Do you know that it's okay to ask God questions? Do you know that it's okay? Put her hand down. Do you know that it's okay to not know everything and to struggle with some things? Do you know that it's okay to not have all the answers? Did you know that? Yeah, Mary's like, hey, I have some questions. I'm not saying God can't do it. I kind of struggle with the mechanics. Because when I went to, sex ed class in elementary school, it's kind of like there's certain things that have to happen and it didn't happen. And so how's God going to do that? This is a mystery. What's that? Yeah, you're right. Maybe it was when she was in junior high. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Mystery. Something to press into, okay? So let's talk about this. Why is it important to say that Jesus was born? What do you think? Don't look at the book. Why is it important to say that Jesus was born?
He was human.
He was fully human. Yeah, fully human. Yeah. Why is it important, though, for us to say he was born? I think it matters. It matters a lot to me. What's that? Sacrifice. Yeah, there's going to be this aspect. Yeah, I have to have a body to sacrifice. Without death, there's no forgiveness for sins. Good. Ryan, what were you going to say? Makes him human. Yeah. Why is it important to say that Jesus was born? Jesus is one of us. He's truly human. Let's write that down. Jesus is one of us. What if God was one of us? Just a stranger on the bus. And down. You guys aren't children of the 90s. You don't know that song. Older. Jesus is one of us, truly human. Okay? Let's read this verse together. Excuse me. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Let's read that again. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of people. That's Hebrews 2:17. So let me break that down for you. What does that mean? Okay, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, fully human. Okay, why? So that, what can he do? He can be merciful. He can be a faithful high priest. Okay, the high priest is the one that goes between you and God in the tabernacle. Mediator. To make propitiation. To make the sacrifice. To handle the blood. All right, so who is Jesus Christ? Question 6. You guys learned this a few weeks ago. The divine Son of God who took on human flesh to be the Savior of the world, the only mediator between who? God and corrupt humanity. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Right? Only being fully human can Jesus be a merciful, faithful high priest, bringing our needs to the Father. Hey, being human's hard. Right? What are some difficult aspects of being a human? What are some parts of your life you just don't like? Go ahead. Sorrow. Things make you sad. You lose things, people. Sorrow, not fun. What are some other aspects? Bullies? Yeah. Things can hurt. Porter, what's a difficult part of being human? Quizzes. Yes. Yes. Especially if you don't know the answers, right? Yeah. We get tired. Jesus was tired. Jesus knew what it was like to have a long day. We get disappointed. Has there ever been disappointed? Yeah. Jesus' friends leaving him in his moment of greatest suffering, abandoning him, running away, leaving him surrounded by a cohort of Roman soldiers and temple priests and, yeah, guards. We lose loved ones. Did Jesus lose anyone? Yeah. Lost his cousin? Yeah. Lost his dad? His dad probably passed away when he was young. Yep. Lost family, lost friends. He knows what that grief's like. He knows what that grief's like. We struggle with temptation. Did Jesus struggle against temptation? Yeah. So much so that he actually fought the prince of darkness himself, Satan, in the wilderness. Jesus knows what it means to be tempted. No matter our struggle, Jesus meets us in prayer with a hand on our shoulder and says, I get it. I get it. I know what that's like. Been there. Done that. So yeah, why is it important to say that Jesus was born? He's one of us. Truly human. But born of a virgin? Seriously? That's crazy talk. That's crazy talk. Any of you guys know the story of Alice in Wonderland? Alice in Wonderland, Queen of Hearts. Out of her head. This is from that story, Alice in Wonderland. Alice says something to the queen. I just can't believe that. I can't believe that. Can't you? The queen said in a pitying tone. Try again. Draw a long breath. Shut your eyes. Alice laughed. There's no use trying. One can't believe impossible things. Well, I dare say that you haven't had much practice then, said the queen. When I was your age, I always did it for a half hour a day. Why, sometimes I believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast. To say something's not impossible. This is just an amazing part of the story. But don't separate the virgin birth from the greater story. One of the important aspects of the story that you know in the Bible that God is about to do something is there's probably some crazy, miraculous birth at the beginning of it. Okay? So don't take the virgin birth and separate it from everything else that happens in Scripture. It's kind of like a bicycle chain. Okay, imagine in your mind a bicycle chain. And now imagine that you've never seen a bicycle, and I show you the chain. Are you going to be able to, oh, yeah, that's a bicycle chain. No, no, the bicycle chain goes with the bike, right? Virgin birth goes with the whole greater story. Israel's story begins with a miraculous birth. Remember whose it was? The nation of Israel started with a miraculous birth. Abraham and Sarah, right? Couldn't have kids. God says, you're going to have a kid. That's a miraculous birth. That's a miraculous birth. Moses. That's pretty miraculous. Escaping. Death. A miraculous survival. Samson's mom. Samuel's mom. These are both important big judges. Both couldn't conceive. Both miraculous births. Both became mighty judges. Elizabeth and Zechariah. Mary's relatives. They're the new Abraham, the new Sarah, if you will. Miraculous birth. Big turning points in the story. You'll find a woman in trouble. You'll find her pregnant. You'll find an infant. And you'll find promise. All of those things are coming together in this story. Maybe your birth. Maybe you. Maybe you're part of that same amazing work. Maybe God wants to do something amazing right now in our time of trouble. And he sent you. God wants to bring a promise through you. Why is it important to say that Jesus was born? Jesus is one of us, truly human. Truly human. Hey, let's review both the questions, okay? You can go ahead and read them. You can read them. You can read them. What does it mean that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit? Read out loud so that I can hear you. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit coming upon the Virgin Mary, not by a human father. Key verse. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Luke 1:35. Why is it important to say that Jesus was born? Jesus is one of us, truly human. Prove it. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Hebrews 2:17. Propitiation, that means he makes the pleasing sacrifice before the Father. Okay? Next week, okay, we're going to talk about the one word that embodies Jesus' entire life. You had to boil Jesus' whole life down to one word. What word would you pick? Porter.
Savior.
Savior. Okay, good. Lance. Messiah. How about the word suffering? Jesus' whole life, if you were to boil it down. And he suffered. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. Okay? I want you to read the creed daily. Get that language inside of you. See how it flows. Let it shape your thinking. You're building a foundation, okay? Ask anyone who owns a house. They don't want stones missing in the foundation. Why? Because it falls down. If you don't anchor your thinking and memorize these passages, it's like saying, I don't need that stone in the foundation. Yeah, well, then storms come. And you're going to want that stone there. So work through the creed. Memorize where we are so far up in the creed. Do your review. Here's the thing. You're up to 11 questions, right? And some of them are pretty short, pretty simple, pretty easy. 12, okay? How long do you think it takes to review 12 questions with the 12 answers with the 12 verses? If you had your stack of cards, how long would it take you to read those 12 cards? Tops, right? Tops. 30 seconds a card. That's being pretty generous. 6 minutes. That's it. If 6 minutes, 6 minutes in the morning, 6 minutes in the evening, you've done your review, That foundation stone is getting placed. It's getting set in your thinking. And then shoot, it don't matter what question Pastor Paul or Mr. Adam picks, right? You're going to crank it out. Do it. Do the work. Do the work. Mr. Adam, anything to help us remember before we check out of here? Hope projects maybe or the like?
Mm. It really teaches to the whole creed. The creed has three aspects: Father, Son, Spirit.
That's a good point, yep.
Luke mentions the Spirit, the Most High, and the Son. So that's covered. And I thought about with Jackson's question and whether or not he ran out of power. I remember Tiffany being up on stage holding hoses and stuff and how things flow.
Oh, the flow, yeah, that's right.
Jesus is a hose. Did need to pray and study and remain in connection with the Father. So he was a host connected to the well. He's connected to the wellspring. So the living
water
flows through from the source.
Yeah.
It was also about service, and that's how it flows. So when it comes to the service aspect, we're moving into the season, I'm picking up projects again to be at the end of the week to reach out, and that's there's gonna be multiple opportunities. Some of those already exist, so heads up, here's some things that are coming your way. You might want to think about which one fits your mindset or your abilities. Agape needs people to be baggers and handle people coming through the food bank on Saturday mornings. That's always available every Saturday. You don't even have to It gives humanity to people who literally just are there interfacing with them, put their groceries in a bag, carry out some car with them, things like that. We also have Seeds of Hope and Troy. They are specifically a group that gathers and distributes supplies for foster families and kinship, meaning people who have to part-time adopt a member of their family, cousin, niece, etc. Things aren't good at home. Especially family foster care. Both of those are supplied through clothes, bedding, all the supplies. People have a child anywhere from newborn to teen just show up with, oftentimes hours of notice. So they need those things. So they need people to sort, stack, notes, all those things to get things straight. And then the Bethany Center has opportunities for feeding people, soup kitchen stuff. So please let me know if any of those fit the bill. I'll get some schedules for you so you know your actual time for availability.
So remember, through October, November, December, you need to do a Hope Project. We're going to give you three or four options and say, please pick one of these. Please pick one of these. Okay, and then just
school's back in session, so shoeless is back in motion. That's a harder one for some of you because it's weekdays, it's 3 to 4 hours, but that's a cool one. It's always available this time of year.
But I am more than happy to write a release from school to do a service project. So by all means, if you want, I'm dead.
Very few school administrators are gonna turn that one down.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so if you need, hey, I'm going to go do this serving project during school, I'll come pick you up at school and take you there. It'd be a great opportunity for you to serve others. What's that? I can do work notes too. Work notes too. We've done Shoes for Shoeless like multiple times. Offices, companies, whole teams have come, and said, hey, we want to serve. My wife's done it. Her whole clinic has gone. So, have a conversation with your foreman. Yeah, here's a great opportunity to serve. So that's coming up October, November, December, okay? Hands and feet of Jesus, okay? Head of Jesus, heart of Jesus, hands of Jesus. That's how that works. Why don't you stand up? I'll ask God's blessing on you. Don't forget your honey stick, for your word is sweet to my taste. I have noticed some of you do really well at writing answers down, not so good at remembering the verses. Work on memorizing those verses, team, okay? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you to be gracious to you. May he lift up his smile and may he give you peace. God bless. Have a great week.